Today's message, Gratitude Begins with Grace. New series. Now you're wondering, okay, do we really need three Sundays in a row to talk about gratitude? Yes! Amen. Amen. Because I forget. I fail to remember to give thanks to God, to others, for what they've done. And so we're going to talk about that over the next three Sundays. Next Sunday, I'll talk a little bit about the origin of the word. It goes back to the 15th century. We'll talk more about that. But so today, we're in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It talks all about God's grace. And I believe gratitude is a response of God's grace. And so here it is. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, it's a big but, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We are God's handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A lot of verses, but a lot of good things there, a lot of grace. So let's pray, and then we'll get going here. Father, thank you for your grace to us. That was free, and it came through Jesus Christ. Thank you for that today. May we give you thanks for all that you do. Continue to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, we can talk a lot about grace. I think we could talk more than three Sundays. We could probably talk about 52 Sundays in a row about grace and about gratitude, because we've been touched by the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we've been changed forever, transformed not only here on earth, but forever to be with the Lord Jesus. And so if gratitude is going to continue to grow in our lives, it must be planted in the right soil. So think about that this morning. Is the gratitude that you have, the thankfulness that you have, is it planted in the right soil? Because it could be planted in horizontal soil, but I'm talking more about the vertical soil. Gratitude does not grow well in guilt or fear or pressure. It grows best in grace. So what do I mean by grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Sometimes we know that as an acronym for grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. It's something that's undeserved. It's unmerited. It's something that we can't earn on our own. It's a gift. It's all gift. And you saw that in the text. It's a gift from God. So many people are today, they're chasing things. They try gratitude journals, maybe, or positive thinking, self-improvement plans. Those are all not necessarily bad things. They could be good things, but they're not strong enough to carry the weight of life. Christian gratitude is not rooted in optimism. In fact, Christian life is not based on the Christian. Not all about the Christian. It's not about you and me. It's about what God has already done in and through Jesus Christ. That's the Christian life. Gratitude begins with grace. Gratitude is a response, not a requirement. Growing up, and I know maybe you have experienced this as a kid and maybe as a parent, you've taught your kids, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. But see if you can relate to this. Johnny, tell the man thank you. Johnny had just received something from the man as a gift, maybe. Came out of the blue, maybe not, maybe it was planned, I don't know. But Johnny forgot to say thank you. Johnny! Thank you. Right? Did you grow up that way? Did you grow up, your parents said, remember to say thanks. Remember to say thank you. for the gift that you've received, right? We probably all experienced that. We all probably taught our kids that, if you have kids. And that, again, it's not necessarily bad to teach them that early on. Maybe thinking somewhere along the line they're going to get it on their own. And it'll become a natural response to God's grace in their life. Psalm 103 begins with these words. In fact, we sang the song at the beginning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's David writing the words in Psalm 103. Notice something important in that. David is talking to himself there. Right? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. He's talking to his soul. He's saying, David, remember God's faithfulness to you. He called you a man after his own heart. Remember how he's blessed you and watched over you and taken care of you and used you for his glory and for his purposes. And so David is responding to God's grace and his faithfulness to himself, and he's reminding his soul. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, remember. He's talking to himself there. He's reminding his soul what's true. Gratitude doesn't always come naturally. It often needs to be preached to our hearts. Preach it, brother. Preach it to our hearts. Tell us to be thankful. Tell us to be grateful for what we've received from God. You can do that in a law kind of a way, but we're talking about grace today, right? More of a heart's response to what we've received as a gift. But we need to be reminded, just like we taught our kids growing up. We need to be reminded. Why do we need to be reminded, Johnny? Because Johnny forgets. We forget. Maybe that's why God in Deuteronomy, all throughout Deuteronomy, you'll read it, and he says to his people, you've forgotten who I am and what I've done for you. And so he'll say, remember. Remember my grace to you. So gratitude flows from remembering, not achieving. Do you remember the parable of the lepers? There were 10 of them. Remember when Jesus told the parable to his disciples? There were 10 lepers that approached Jesus. And he cleansed all of them. He healed all of them. All 10 were healed. And they walked away and were walking down the path. And then all of a sudden, one guy. Wait a minute. I'm clean. And he runs back, probably fell at his knees, and he says, thank you, thank you. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, where are the other 9? Did they forget? Did they not remember my grace to them? I think we need to be reminded to remember God's grace in our lives. If you've ever received a gift that was so, like, maybe a surprise to you, gifts are kind of that way. They're surprises, right? They're wrapped up in ribbons and bows, and then you're not sure what's in there. Maybe you're hoping and praying that this is what I got. This is what I told Mom and Dad that I needed. So you're open up that pack. You ever received a gift and maybe were surprised by it? That it was so profound and so exciting that you were beyond words. You didn't know what to say. And sometimes the best response to a gift received is a simple thank you. Thank you. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village. 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance, called out in a loud voice,
Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. He told them to go. That's what they did. When you're healed, go show the priest. Testimony, witness. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Oh, I didn't tell you that. He was a Samaritan. Samaritans were looked down at by the Jews. They looked at them like half-breeds, like your dogs. But it was a Samaritan. Jesus was using the Samaritan to give them an example of God's grace in his life. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let me ask you this morning, as we gather, as the Bethel family here, didn't the other 9 come back? Why didn't they come back? They're human. They forgot already. They didn't remember what had just happened to them. Maybe they were shy. I don't know. Maybe they could be a number of reasons. Psalm 103, David does not list his accomplishments. He lists his God's gifts to him. If you read that psalm later, Psalm 103, he starts off, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he just goes on to list God's gifts to him as the recipient of God's gifts. He lists God's forgiveness. He lists God's healing in his life, God's redemption in his life, God's steadfast love in his life, all gifts, God's mercy in his life. This is part of the Christian life. God acts first and we respond second. God gives and we receive. We respond with, sometimes the best way to respond to a gift received is a simple, thank you. Maybe you don't know how to respond. Maybe you don't know what to say. Sometimes it's just a simple, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works so that no one can boast. We do not thank God to earn his love. We thank God because we already have it. We thank God because we already have his love. Martin Luther captured this beautifully when he said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. In other words, our works, including our gratitude, are not payments to God, not paying him back, but they're responses to his grace. Grace received, gift received, response of thank you. Gratitude and grace also lift our spirits. Imagine you go out to eat at a restaurant, you look at the menu, and as you're ordering, you're quietly doing the math in your head, can I afford this? And what really irks me is a place where they don't have the prices. You know you're in trouble when they don't list the prices. Ooh. Did I budget enough? Toward the end of the meal, the server comes and says, no worries. Your bill has already been paid. Have you ever had that happen? I remember a time in seminary. A seminary friend and myself were eating at a truck stop restaurant, outskirts of Fergus Falls. We're eating in a restaurant. Ordered a meal. We're starting to eat. And we go to ask for the, let's see, North Dakotans say check. It's not a check. If it was a check, it would have been paid for, right? It's a bill, right, Canadians? So whether it's a bill or a check, doesn't matter. We ask for it. And they said, it's already been taken care of. What? And a couple of tables down the row, we saw his uncle, who had attended the church in Fergus Falls, the guy I was with, his uncle was there.
God bless you guys. Just as a little bit of a gift to two seminarians who didn't have very much money. They were struggling. What a blessing. And our response? That's what grace does. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The Apostle Paul shares with the church in Ephesus in this text that we're looking at this morning, and he shares with us this morning, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So we deserved wrath because of our rebellious and sinful nature. What did we get instead? Mercy and love. Dane Ortlund shares this from his book, Deeper. I'm reading it right now. He references the lives of three people: Martin Luther, C.S. Lewis, and Francis Schaeffer. Just a little bit on Francis Schaeffer. And how each one was touched by God's grace and his gift to them, the recipient of God's grace, and a life changed and transformed. Francis Schaeffer, his life had gone stale. He was struggling in his life and what he believed. His joy had dried up, and he was questioning the viability of Christianity at a fundamental level. What got him through? It was this: revisiting the gospel. We could say remembering the gospel. The simple, wonderful, justifying gospel, which says that we are acquitted of our guilt once and for all on the exclusive basis of the finished work of Christ on the cross. And then I would add, through his resurrection, ascension, the finished work of Jesus for all of us. Why? Because of his love for us. And sometimes the only response we can give is a simple, thank you. Thankfulness is a feeling in response to gifts received. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, says it this way: to the gift that we've received in and through Christ Jesus and the salvation of our souls, Paul says it this way: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. As we think about this past year where we have looked back and we have leaned in and are holding fast to Jesus, my prayer for all of us is that we all go deeper with Jesus and live lives of gratitude. Let me pray and then we'll share communion together. Father, thank you for your grace to all of us. Thank you that we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We pray and then we receive it. And God, sometimes the only simple response to that gift is a simple, we thank you today. In Jesus' name.